Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are in the book of Acts, as you know, and we are all the way down to chapter number 19. Just started last episode, and we're already in verse 8. And so if you're following along in your own Bible, why don't you go ahead and find your place? Acts chapter 19 and verse 8, where the Bible says about Paul that he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So, John, we're going to go ahead and just stop there right away and emphasize, I guess, re-emphasize what the Bible has emphasized now over and over again about the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And that is, he began his ministry in any respective place by going to the synagogue, if there were a synagogue, and disputing with the Jews about the nature of Messiah's ministry.
You know, Pastor, as we've seen many times now, Paul did have a heart for the Jewish people. And although he has many times been, you know, rebuffed by the Jewish people, and he gives the message about the Messiah, he still has a heart for them. And he goes now here at Ephesus and speaks to them about what the Word of God teaches about the kingdom of God, about the Messiah.
So why would the scriptures say that the subject matter was the kingdom of God?
You know, it is interesting. People often think about the Jews had this problem. They thought about the kingdom of God as being a place where literally Romans were overthrown, they had political freedom, and they were their own people, which is true. That's going to happen someday where Christ will literally rule and reign. But much more important than a place being the kingdom of God is the person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah, we're not going to have a kingdom of God that we're going to thrive in. We have to have the Messiah to deal with our sin problem, and we know him. Even now, I don't live in a literal kingdom, but even now, every day, I can submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, obey him, and see people added who someday will enjoy that great time of peace upon this earth.
Always remember, my friends, that in the ministry of Jesus, the emphasis was one of the internal is more important than the external. Not that they're mutually exclusive, but remember in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount that followed, Jesus emphasized heart. Why? Because it's from the heart that these sins arise, whether it be adultery or murder. It's in the heart. So he emphasized the internal over the external because the external grows from the internal. And then secondly, the spiritual is more important than the physical. So I like the way you said it, John, and that is certainly the kingdom of God will include physical elements. You know, you and I will have a glorified body. We'll be in a physical place. Jesus will rule and reign for a literal 1,000 years. We believe this, but that's not all of what the kingdom of God is. I like what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 14, and that is the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. So these internal spiritual realities are, I think, what the Apostle Paul is he's helping to shape the understanding of the Jewish people about the nature of the kingdom.
And as you well know, Pastor, in the Gospels, we find oftentimes where Jesus deals with this issue about people having the wrong perspective about the kingdom of God. You know, they love the title, the Jewish people love the title Son of David. That emphasized his kingly rule. But Jesus wanted them to realize, you know, you have the wrong perspective. You need to adjust. As you mentioned, the Sermon on the Mount, he shows them what is truly important about life.
And our minds tend to focus on that which is appealing to us. So it's not that the Old Testament had never introduced Jesus as a man of sorrows or as a suffering servant. Indeed, the Old Testament was very clear about the ministry of Messiah. It was just that, you know, we like to emphasize those things that accrue to our benefit. So there's something about the son of David. There's something about a ruling king. There's something about throwing off, you know, oppression and Roman oppression. There's something about that. So we want to focus on that to the exclusion of Messiah's more important ministry.
And I think what Jesus told the Jews in John chapter 8, where he told them that they should know the truth, the truth shall set them free. And of course, Christ was talking about spiritual freedom. Whenever we know Christ, we can walk in freedom, in victory over sin in our daily walk.
So his ministry in the synagogue, a three-month ministry, where he is carefully teaching and preaching through the Old Testament scriptures, that those are the scriptures that they had in those days, obviously. And I like what the Bible says as far as the verbs here. He spoke boldly or spake boldly. So there's a confidence in the truth, a Holy Spirit enlivened confidence. Then the Bible says he's disputing and persuading. That doesn't mean that he's obnoxious. That doesn't mean that he's argumentative as a personality trait. What it means is that he knows how to deal with people that have an opposite view.
You know, that is so important in our life that we learn that, to have wisdom for the Holy Spirit. You know, you and I both, Pastor, have faced people who want to come and just argue for the sake of argument. They don't want to have their minds changed. They don't want to know the truth. They want to just argue. Well, at times like that, you know, we don't want to argue with them. But there are people who seriously are trying to find the truth. And we do need to take time and confront them with truth. It reminds me in Proverbs of what seemed to be those two conflicting verses. You know, answer not a fool, lest you be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And so we have to have the wisdom of when we dispute with people in a loving way.
So the Apostle Paul is doing this for 3 months. And the Bible says in verse 9, but when divers, or different ones, some of them, were hardened. In other words, there comes a point in a conversation where a person is no longer open. They are not arguing and disputing for the purpose of seeking a common truth, but they're arguing to defend a position that they're unwilling to reconsider.
When I think of those kind of people, Pastor, I think about Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about not casting the pearls before the swine. And it's a good idea about how that if we give truth to people that are just going to not take it properly, it actually can be detrimental to us in dealing with those people.
Oh, for sure. So the Bible says when this happens, when the divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. Remember, the way was the moniker for Christianity back in those days, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So it's interesting, John, that when people had made up their mind, you know, they were hardened, they didn't believe, they found it necessary then to speak evil of Paul and his companions to the multitude. In other words, they wanted to shape the reputation of the opposition. They're kind of involved in character assassination, aren't they?
They sure are. You know, and we have seen this throughout the book of Acts, Pastor, with Paul. We find it with Jesus in the Gospel of John, particularly where he's talking to the Jews. They try to attack him. And we have found that throughout church history, where people are not content to just leave Christianity alone, because Satan is not content to leave it alone. They have to oppose it and go against it and try to shape public opinion to be against it.
So essentially then they were kicked out of the synagogue. But I love the flexibility of the Apostle Paul, because he just found another meeting place. He didn't complain about it. He didn't, you know, picket. He didn't fight. He just moved on to the next available place and took up his ministry there.
It's a great example to us. If we find one area where we're stymied, go to another place and just keep giving the gospel, keep teaching people. God will work through his word.
John, I'm going to give you a special bonus point for using the word stymied. that was really good. Look at verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So if you take the time before the synagogue and then take the time in the synagogue, And then the time with the school of Tyrannus, the Apostle Paul's, you know, in town for about 2.5 years. They continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So when the Bible talks about this 2 year period of time, what do we know? We know what Paul's modus operandi is. We know that he's teaching daily. He's discipling daily. That's what it says in verse 9, disputing daily. And he does that for 2 years. And when the Apostle Paul speaks about this ministry later on in Acts chapter 20, he tells the Ephesian elders, hey, I didn't shun to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. That's a pretty audacious statement, John, that he would say, I filled in all the cracks during my time with you. Is that even possible?
You know, I think of Paul out there daily speaking. You know, he would have covered, without doubt, a lot of material. Everything they needed to know, he would have given them. Obviously, the Bible is not all completely written yet. And, you know, Paul could not have gone verse by verse off the whole Old Testament, but he would have given them everything that they needed to know to live the Christian life. He would have helped them fill in all the gaps, things they didn't understand. And here's what God means by this in the Old Testament. Here's what God means by this, helping them understand, get the whole picture, that they might have confidence in what they believe.
You can read your Bible in 1 year if you'll dedicate 15 minutes a day. That's anybody. Now, I want you to think about the Apostle Paul now, who's teaching daily, every day. These aren't 15-minute increments. This is intense study. And he's spending 2 years, and he's not even having to cover the whole Bible. He's just covering the Old Testament. So is it possible to study the entirety of Scripture with reference to the ministry of Messiah in particular in that space of time? Absolutely possible. Not only is it possible, it happened, because the Apostle Paul gave that testimony. And I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, if we're going to treat the Bible in a cursory way, if we're going to treat the Bible in a superficial way, it might take a lifetime to learn some of these truths. But people that are dedicated and disciplined to learn, to grow, that spend time in it every day, there can be a massive leap forward in one's Bible knowledge and understanding if he applies it this way.
It is amazing what people can absorb if they will just stay in tune and stay focused to that. And you're exactly right, Pastor. When people are dedicated, they can amass a lot of material very quickly. And Paul is teaching every single day. And I love what the Bible says here about how all the people in Asia heard this. You know, we remember that Ephesus was a key place back then, had one of the, you know, wonders of the ancient world. And so many people have come through here, and Paul daily is teaching. He would have had a tremendous impact, as we see in the Bible.
And we see clues of that even later on, where churches, for instance, in the Lycus Valley, Laodicea and Colossae, we're assuming even perhaps a church in Hierapolis. But the point is, Paul had not gone to those cities. They were about 100 miles from Ephesus. But because Ephesus was that hub city, again, one of Paul's stated philosophies, people are coming, they're hearing, they're being saved, they're being discipled, they're going back to their respective areas, and the gospel is mushrooming in Asia because of this dynamic ministry in Ephesus.
And we think what a place where he was, where idolatry was rampant, you know, the Temple of Diana. There were people very much opposed to Christian beliefs, and yet Paul was faithful in preaching the gospel and saw many people come to Christ through the ministry he had there.
You never know, my friends, what God is going to do with the gospel that you share. Yes, it has an immediate effect upon the hearer, but you don't know where that hearer is going to go. You don't know how God brings people in and out of your life. He's the one that sees the whole chessboard. He knows how all the pieces interact. He's the Lord of the harvest. Our job is to be faithful where we are and let God use that gospel influence literally to get around the world. So be faithful today, my friends. Share the gospel with somebody. Tell somebody about the Lord. Learn something new in the Bible and just see how God exponentially blesses your life. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.